poet and the wise men, they're asking the questions. Why do the faithful have such a will to believe in something? What are they believing in? We'll look at that, and we'll connect some dots between the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the psychological. This is Father Voskin, and that's what I do. This is episode number 456 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Walking through the first few days of Lent. How are you doing? Did you make it through? How about you Catholics out there listening to me? Or Catholic listeners? Did you get ashes on your forehead? I think that is so cool. And I really like that. The ashes on your forehead. I know yesterday was Ash Wednesday. And you know, we start our Lent in Armenian Orthodoxy. We started on Monday of, this past Monday, 4 days ago. So we're already 4 days into Lent, and our Catholic listeners are on the second day of Lent. Ash Wednesdays. We're going to be talking about that difference, like how important. You know what? Why don't I just start with that, okay? And then we can get back to it. How important is that Lent starts on Monday as opposed to Wednesday? Is this just as important as is the birthday of Jesus on December 25th or January 6th? I mean, you can't believe the number of people that get consumed with things like that. Oh, hey, look at us. We're Orthodox. We started on Monday. We are on this calendar. Oh, man, can you believe that? I mean, I'm all for you celebrate any way you want. You commemorate any way you want, but the idea that there's some kind of superiority in the ranks. You know, like, hey, this is what God's going to favor, that we start on Monday as opposed to Wednesday. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a bit, because there's a lot. Everything we're going to talk about is about that kind of double, these dichotomies in which we're caught in and being consumed with things that really just, frankly, don't matter, you know? They don't matter. Whether you started on Monday or Wednesday is not even secondary. It's not even tertiary. It's like irrelevant. What did you do with that time that you started? What did you do with this Lenten time? Anyway, for our Catholic listeners, Ash Wednesday, I think that is a really cool tradition. And I had a chance to participate in this several years ago when my kids were at a Catholic high school. And on Ash Wednesday, they had Mass, and I was able to attend. And the priest invited me to be one of the people who spread the ashes, who gave the ashes on foreheads. And the small little ash symbol on the forehead goes along with the word, from dust you came, to dust you shall return. More common is like ashes to ashes, dust to dust, but it's really a biblical profession in Genesis, I believe, where it says you came from the dust and you returned to the dust. And I got to thinking, you know, like ashes, like doesn't that imply cremation as well? I mean, you came from dust and you returned to dust is usually what we talk about when we do in-ground burials, right? You came from the earth and now you return to the earth. As in our Orthodox tradition, we bless the earth and then we say, let the divine blessing fall upon the earth that is there, that is taking in this body. And we return the body back to the earth. Now, let me give you a little bit of warning. If this gets a little bit morbid, what you can do is press on that forward button on your listener right now. You can go maybe about 2-3 minutes forward. You don't have to listen to this part. But I want you to think about this whole thing, okay? Because I get a lot of people who ask me about cremation. I mean, really, a lot of people. I think it's probably being fueled by the economy. Basically, cremations have been traditionally a lot less expensive than ground burial because you don't have to deal with the real estate. You don't have to purchase that real estate, which is the ground, the cemetery. But I think that some entrepreneurs are making their way forward, and we're seeing that cremations are now getting up there too in cost. But people will always ask me, well, is it okay to cremate? And I said, yeah, why not? Well, what about the church? What about the church? And, you know, one of the reasons why Christianity, they got away from the idea of cremations was this idea that there would be a second coming at which time God would resurrect us in body. And we profess this in the creed, right? In the Nicene Creed. He is to come to judge the living and of the dead. And at that judgment, we believe that God will resurrect us in body. Now, because of that, and they've said, well, you can't be cremated because, well, there's no body left. Well, in reality, too, I mean, now we're 2,000 years into Christianity. Most of the bodies that died through the centuries are not around either, right? I mean, isn't that the whole idea of going back to the earth? Dust to dust, right? Returning back to the earth. Lately, and those of you who have, and I told you this is morbid, so you know, I'm sorry, you're here on your own, on your own accord. But if you've participated in funerals, if you've had death recently, you know that you look into the grave, and you'll notice that the casket is not placed into the earth; it's placed into a cement liner. And the reason for this is if you've gone to old cemeteries, really old, like 300-400 years, actually, if you've been to Armenia, if you've been to the Middle East, if you've been to any of the older countries, the older traditional countries where there are old cemeteries, you walk into those cemeteries and what do you see? You see that the graves have caved in. Well, that's why they have these cement liners now, so that the graves will not cave in. So what the tradition now is, they take the body, they put it inside of a casket, and that casket is put into this cement liner. So, yeah, you know, basically you're looking at a few hundred years, or at least the life of that cement, before that crumbles and then the casket goes into the ground. But you're just prolonging. You're prolonging the deterioration of the casket and the body. Cremation, on the other hand, is instantaneous, right? You get cremated. And, you know, you could think about some of the weird things, too. I mean, people say that, oh, cremation, it sounds so horrible that they get rid of the body like in flames. But what is the problem here? What is the problem here? Isn't our whole faith about the soul being eternal? Isn't our whole faith about that the body is just the shell? And if it is just the shell, does it really matter after death? After death, it facilitated the life of that spirit, of that soul. But after that death, that body's not going to go. And then they argue, well, God is going to come back and he's going to resurrect the bodies. So in other words, we believe in a God that can resurrect bodies out of dust, but not out of ashes. Is that what they're saying? And what about all of those Christians, certainly in my history, and certainly in the history of the last 100 years, I personally know because I've been to one of those places. How about those churches that were burnt to the ground with people living in them by enemies during genocide? I saw this in Rwanda, and it brought back to my mind the stories that I had heard as a child, which had happened in Armenia and Turkey. Okay, Christians inside of a church burnt. And what happens to those bodies? I mean, there's a lot of holes in the argument. And so, you know, when I tell you, or when I guess it's Susie, does she still say that at the beginning of the show? She says, you don't need to check your brain in at the door. A lot of times, a lot of these things that people talk about require you to check your brain in at the door. In other words, don't do any thinking about it. But if you really think about it, if God is all powerful, why can he not resurrect a body if he wanted to? Out of dust, out of ashes. And really, I don't see any problem in cremation. Honestly, if you are concerned that maybe somebody did not pass away, I mean, at least there's a finality in that, right? In cremation. As opposed to putting a body in a box and then fearing that maybe did we get it right? Is that body alive inside that box and struggling to get out the last few hours or days of life, struggling to get out? No. That's now we're going into movies, right? Is that a la Hitchcock? Anyway, the whole point of this is that we are consumed with this kind of discussion instead of the discussion of the life element, the discussion of what is that life that that person lived. And it's just like when you go to a funeral. What are the two dates that they tell you? They tell you the day that person was born. And of course, you know the day the person died. And so we're consumed with these kind of facts. And if you're lucky, you'll get a glimpse of that person in between those two dates. The dash in that headstone, right? Here's the date that they were born. Here's the date that they were died. What's important is that dash. And if you're lucky, you get that story. If you're not, you get some interesting facts. And guess what? This is what our church is all about, too. We've given out facts. We've given out dates. But we haven't talked about that dash in between. For instance, you go to church and we recite the Nicene Creed. We know that there is only one God, creator of the living, of all things living, creator, right? We know that there is one Son, light of light, true light of true light, begotten and not made. And we hear about how he came to earth, he was baptized, and you know, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. He suffered, he was crucified, he was buried, and then rose again and ascended into heaven. We hear about the Holy Spirit, true God, true essence. And we talk about the Holy Church, remission of sins, and having this power. Okay, that's the Nicene Creed. So we've got this beautiful creed which says what we believe. This is what I believe. But is that really what we believe? The facts of these things, these people? What happened to believing in the message of these people? That's what's missing. That message. It's that dash in between the two dates. I know I could tell you, as an Armenian, we grow up with these kind of these dates that you have to sort of memorize. Like you go into a crowd of Armenians, you say, who was the first Christian nation? Well, of course, we're Armenian. We know the 301 AD. That's a date that you know. Saint Vartan Mamigonian. Well, you know that he's a warrior. You know that he's a tough guy. Who knows the story? Who knows the value of something like that? Well, when you guess at it, you know something about the details. Oh, there was a war, we lost it, but we won it, and moral victory and all that. Same thing with the genocide. Unfortunately, now 100 years after the genocide, it's turned into a numbers game. 1.5 million Armenians. That's the number. 1.5 million Armenians. Territory. Now they're adding to that number and they're saying, well, look at all the generations that were lost since that time. And we're consumed with numbers. We're consumed with these factual items. instead of being consumed with, well, what's the purpose of it? And that's why I was saying earlier, we argue over things like, was Jesus born on December 25th, January 6th? Just this morning, I was at the car shop taking our car in. And the guy working there, hey, aren't you the Deadhead? Yes, I'm the priest. And he says, we watch your YouTube videos. Love them. Blah, blah, blah. I said, thank you. You know, there's a degree of flattery that gets you places, and it's nice. I'm not gonna pretend it's not nice. Yeah, there, a smile comes to my face, right? But here's what he said then. He says, we love those videos because we love to show our non-Armenian friends so that they know what the date is. And I thought about it for a few minutes. You know, that video that I made, it went pretty viral. In fact, it's still going from what I understand. The one about what is the date of Christmas. If you watch it, it's exactly not about the date of Christmas. If you watch it, it's not about the date of Christmas. Yet everyone will come away remembering about the date of Christmas. The date of Christmas, is it January 6th? Is it December 25th? And if you watch that video, make sure we got a link on today's show notes. Watch that video and you'll see that it's not about the date. In fact, far from it. It's about making that Christmas a reality all the time. Okay? But the things that people latch on to are those dates. Because why? It's so obvious. These are things that people can latch on to. Give me a date, man. Give me a date and I'll remember that. But tell me why I'm remembering that or who that person is, what that person did. Those are just too abstract for me. And we like these kind of physical, tangible items that we can hang on to, we can understand. And we shy away from those abstract ideas. Abstract faith, hope, love. What is that? What is love? What is hope? What is faith? It requires a little bit of contemplation. It requires a little bit of meditation. It requires a little bit of prayer. In other words, going outside of yourself. And that's a scary place to go. That is a scary place to go. We like those kind of things that are very physical, that are tangible, that are concrete, that we could compartmentalize. And the abstract things, we talk about justice. What is justice? We talk about injustice as opposed to justice, right? But put it into context. Give it some parameters. Give it some definition by putting in some of the variables. Okay, this person, injustice to this person, was tried for a crime he did not commit because of his race. Okay, now we got a story here, right? We got a story here. And now we've got to start looking at, okay, the race card over here. Got to look at the injustice, justice card over here about being tried. And these are things that we can handle. I'll never forget, several years ago, it was a youth group. I had gone to one of the churches. I can't remember where it was exactly, but I do remember the event. And we were sitting with a bunch of young people, and I was asked to organize these young people. And so I brought them together and said that this is going to be the new youth group of this church. And we started talking. And I said, what would you like to do? And one of the first things, and I'll never forget this, one of the first things they talked about was to raise funds. And I looked at them and I said, wow, these are young people. They want to raise funds for... And I asked them, I challenged them. I said, for what? What do you want to raise funds for? Well, we want to do things. I said, but nobody's asking you for funds. I said, we have the funds. What are you raising funds for? Well, we want to do that. I said, don't worry about the things. You'll be able to do them. Here's the funds. We got the funds. What are you raising funds for? In other words, we couldn't understand how to have the fun without having the funds. That's with a D, okay? Funds. The same is true with an older group of people, too. I mean, it's remarkable. I have sat at parish council meetings where they will debate, seriously, I'm being very serious about it. They will debate whether the cost of the hot dog should be $2.50 or $3 at the picnic. And we'll spend decent amounts of time debating this, right? But when it comes to the salvation of the souls of the people, people don't care. It's like, okay, yeah, let's go next. And this is what I have, this is where I'm going to, because right after the song, this is where we're going to continue with this, but this is what I'm seeing is our biggest mission right now. We're putting together this conference called The Reclaim, and it's exactly about that. It's about finding that soul and nurturing that soul. Just spending the same, I'm not saying over, spend the same amount of time on the soul as you do with things like, you know, the price of a hot dog, on the physical. It's difficult, but it requires you to really push yourself. And this is really where I want to go with, where I want to go to today, this first week of Lent. So let's take a break right now. I'm going to play an old friend of mine, Gor Mkhitaryan. We haven't played him in a few months now, and it was just so good. I got a chance to talk to him the other day. He's coming down for this conference, and we're going to have a great night. Actually, the first night of the concert, the conference, he's going to be playing. We're going to do an outdoor concert. I even made arrangements to get a small little campfire put up there, a small little bonfire, I should call it. And we're going to be able to hear Gor Mkhitaryan in the outdoors, Southern California outdoors. And what a treat that's going to be. Just a wonderful, incredible musician who I know from a lot of you that are big fans of his know that he just really, or his music reverberates in your soul. It does in mine. Anyway, here's a song off of his last album, off of the Passport album, Gor Mkhitaryan.
Enjoy. Մեր հայացքը քարացած, ոչինչ էլ չի արտահայտում, բացի հույսի փոքրիկ շողից, մենք սպասում ենք լուսաբացին, մենք սպասում ենք լուսաբացին. Մինչ այդքան երկար սպասված, լուսաբացը այցելի, մենք խավարի մեջ նստած, ընտարբերում. Տվացյալ հավերժական բռնել ես մեր կոկորդներից, բայց մենք սպասում ենք լուսաբացին, բայց մենք սպասում ենք լուսաբացին. Ախ պատան մեքենաներ, դուք դարձեք կամուրջ մի աշխարհի, ուր մենք ապրում էինք որպես մարդիկ արժանապատիվ, որպես մարդիկ արժանապատիվ. Մինչ այդքան երկար սպասված, լուսաբացը այցելի, մենք խավարի մեջ նստած, ընտարբերում մոլորված. Լուսաբաց նայցելեց, փակ ուղին արդեն բացվեց, մղզավանջը հետևում մնաց. Հին կյանքի հին հուշերով, նոր օրվա նոր հույսերով, մենք քայլում ենք առջևից. Ու երբ լուսաբաց նայցելեց, փակ ուղին արդեն in Bad Spitz, Pritz Avanja hate it in my nuts. Hink Yankee, Hin Hu Shadow, Noro Von No Hu Sero, Minkailu, Minkarche, Beats. Oh, you blue Sabbat nights and eggs, Paku, Hin Art in Bad Spitz, Pritz Avanja hate it in my nuts.
The unmistakable voice and talent of Gor Mkhitaryan. Vonsen Gabrum, how are we living? How do we live? The name of that song, it's off of the Passport album. We will have a link on today's show notes so you can check out that album. All the good stuff on there. Yeah, and we're looking forward to having Gor with us in a couple weeks. We're going to be having the Reclaim Conference in Southern California. And if you haven't gotten tickets, there'll be some more information toward the end of today's show. And, of course, on our show notes, do check it out, embracing-faith.com. It is a three-day conference you will not want to miss. You know, I think that's the one thing that I have about my conferences, the ones that we organize. It's about that missing part. Everybody at the end, oh, I'm sorry I missed it. Yeah, well. Here you go. Here's your opportunity up front. Anyway, that is Gor Mkhitaryan. That will be Gor Mkhitaryan in a few weeks, and I hope you enjoyed it. Let's get on with our show.
Why do the faithful have such a wish to believe in something and call it the name they choose, having chosen nothing?
Why do the faithful have such a will to believe in something and call it the name they choose, having chosen nothing? Pretty profound, huh? Comes off of a song. It's off of an Ian Anderson song, a Jethro Tull song, many years ago. And it is a song that has really challenged me to think about, what are these definitions that we have? And by the way, this is a sideline. I was at St. Mark's Episcopal Church this morning talking with the priest there, Father Mark Weitzel. We were discussing a program that we're going to be doing together. And I was just really struck. Right in front of the church, there was a sign, attend the Carly Simon Mass. And I said, what is that? Carly Simon music. They have some great people who know how to sing, how to beef it up with the music, and really pack it in. And isn't that beautiful? Using the music of Carly Simon to articulate a message. And so when I do these little things, when I go off on these little sidelines, and I talk about like an Ian Anderson quote, it's like, you know, you have something to learn from a lot of people. And to me, these higher planes of consciousness are within the artistic realm. Whether it's an artist who puts it on canvas, an artist who belts it out with a voice, with music. I mean, they are reverberating, that's the magic word today, reverberating with our soul. Because they are able to communicate something in a way that maybe... I mean, you know, everybody who communicates in these things in a song, why do the faithful have such a will to believe in something? This is nothing new. It's the same challenge that Jesus threw out to the Pharisees. Like, what are you doing here? You are talking about being the sons of Abraham. You have these names. But what are you doing? It's the same concept. It's just a different way and presented in such a way that it opens up a dialogue for thinking. Why do the faithful have such a will to believe in something and call it the name they choose, having chosen nothing? Wow. Why? Why do we go towards religion? Well, we all have two parts to us. And this is the beauty of our Lenten period. That it's the nurturing of that soul. Of that spirit that you know is inside of you. You see, and this is just natural. I mean, just by the materialism that we that consumes our life day in and day out. We start believing that all there is to life is basically the physical, what we touch, what we can. The abstract is out there. Forget about it. I mean, you know, and science, true science, really is about understanding. It's not about saying that the non-understandable is negated. Oh, this is a hard one, because I'm trying not to, you know where my head's going. It's going to the old philosophy arguments, you know, like the who was that? St. Anselm's argument for God. He basically philosophically could argue and prove that God exists, calling it the greatest conceivable being, right? And does it exist in reality? Does it exist in my mind? And so on and so on. That takes me back. Jeez, we make a note of that. Let's see if we can find that and put that up on our show notes too. I'll let you deal with it. I'll let you listeners deal with St. Anselm's argument for the existence of God. And I don't want to go in that direction. What I want to do is, and I'm not really out there to argue with science community. I believe in science. It makes my world go round. I'm not going to challenge science. I'm not going to go up on a 5-story building, throw myself out thinking that, hey, maybe today, maybe today gravity's not going to work. And I know I'm not stupid. I'm not going to do that, you know. But what I do know is that we cannot only talk about that. In other words, extrasensory or supernatural phenomena. Why are we scared of that? Well, we're scared because it pushes us. It really deals with a part of us that we are unfamiliar with. The spirit, the soul. Something big happens in our life. Now, you can attribute it to many things. Somebody who believes will maybe say, this is a miracle. It's a supernatural phenomena. It's beyond nature, and it happened. We just saw it this morning. There was a tornado that went through one of the towns, and it was on the news. And the woman was standing there, and she was answering. Her and her son were spared. For the way tornadoes work, if you're not in that particular belt of tornadoes, these horrendous whirlwinds, tornadoes, will go through a town, and it's very, very possible that the tornado will hit your neighbor and not you. In other words, the house right next to you will be completely destroyed by this tornado because the path of that tornado went that way, and you are just standing there looking in awe, and they caught this woman in complete awe. All around her, everything was destroyed, but her and her son were spared and saved in this one house. And she says, by the grace of God, these were her words, by the grace of God, we were spared. And then she broke down when she thought about all of her neighbors who were completely gone, their homes destroyed. And you would then attribute this phenomena, right? It is a phenomena. Basically, you're looking at a neighborhood and all of these things are just torn down. Everything is desecrated except for this one house, and it's standing there. Now, you could attribute that to what? To supernatural. You could say it is a miracle. You could alternatively say it's chance. Purely by chance, right? This is how tornadoes work. They do a dance, you know, and they are the path of a tornado is like a dance. It's very fine-tuned, and it'll go down a street, and it'll get one house and won't get the other house. That's just an issue of chance. Now, you're free to believe this. You're free to believe this, and people will believe it. And I'm not arguing. It might be completely chance. But why are we okay to say it's chance and not to say that it is supernatural? Because once you do supernatural, then you are given this entire list of things. Well, why this house and not the other house? Was it because the person in this house was good and the other person was bad? Or was it because the other person was good and was consumed and taken away? You know what I'm getting at. And this is where our mythology begins. This is where you get these stories like Noah's Ark, you know? Well, there was this big flood and this guy survived. And he survived because he was good. And that becomes the archetype, no pun intended, that becomes the archetype for what we live and what we experience now. So when good things happen, it's because it is a reward from God. And when bad things happen, it's a punishment from God. Where if we were just to push it a little bit more, we would understand that we exist in a system that has a wide variety of experiences. For instance, and I brought this up before, and I love it because it really brings it home to me very clearly. It is the phenomena of the moon and the earth. And it's so important that we understand this. I love it. Not because I made it up, because it clicked in my head one night and I figured out that this really is what it's all about. You look at the moon. I love watching the moon, by the way. We do crazy things. Yeah, there was a super moon a couple months ago. We took off. I think Sevan was with us, and we just went out over there, and we watched it rise. Ah, I love the moon. But watching the moon, looking at the moon, you see craters, okay? That's a part of the moon, right? There are craters. Why? Because different objects from space are hitting it at incredible speeds. And throughout the years, throughout the centuries, throughout the millennium, different large objects have hit it. And those objects in hitting it are, you know, make these giant craters. Okay? That's what all those craters. It's not Swiss cheese. It's craters. Okay. Now that's scientific. They've said that happens over there. Now, how come the Earth doesn't get its share of meteors? How come we don't get it? Well, because when meteors come to the Earth, you see them as shooting stars. These are just meteors that are burning up in the atmosphere. We have atmosphere. Thank God we have atmosphere, because if we didn't have atmosphere, guess what we would look like? We would be like the moon, filled with craters, okay? If you look around you, you'll see any night of the year, you look up and you'll see meteors, you'll see small little objects coming into our atmosphere, which were probably bigger objects coming at incredible speeds, and they burn up along the way, and they're called shooting stars. We call them shooting stars, right? But they're basically meteorites. They're hitting us. And if we didn't have the atmosphere, guess what? Our surface, the surface of the Earth, would be plagued with the same pockmarks that we find on the moon. And if we didn't have the atmosphere, guess what? We wouldn't be here, because the sun would then fry us, right? The atmosphere collects all those dangerous rays that are bombarding the Earth. The sun would fry us if we didn't have the atmosphere. The meteors would pockmark our planet. And if we didn't have the atmosphere, that whole system of the plants consuming the carbon dioxide and putting out oxygen, well, we wouldn't be part of that ecosystem. We wouldn't be alive. So because of this atmosphere, we are safe. Now, guess what? That atmosphere is also responsible for... It's a good thing, right? Up until now, we love that atmosphere. We love atmosphere. Thank God we have atmosphere, right? But it's that same atmosphere which gives us these torrential rains, that gives us those tornadoes that go through the land, that gives us hurricanes, that gives us all sorts of weather issues that plague us, that gives us snowstorms, blizzards, that gives us heat in the deserts. It's because of that atmosphere. It's part of the ecosystem. Now, with all the goodness there in that atmosphere gives, we also have to take it with some of the bad things that happen because of an atmosphere. And those bad things are a part and parcel of the reality of having an atmosphere. So too, when we think about our lives, we have to understand that there is a lot of goodness that comes in that life. And if you were to have a baby and you pick up that baby immediately at birth and you look at it and you say, this is the most incredible miracle of all time. And as that baby grows older and older and older, and new things happen and new things develop, and finally when that baby hits around 80 years old and they are plagued with all kinds of diseases, and when that baby hits 100 years old and they've already combated all the diseases that have gone, now at 100 years old new diseases start coming, you realize that it's all part of the same life. And all of these things, all of these atmospheric conditions are part of having that atmosphere. All of the negativity are part of having this beautiful thing that we call life. And I would rather call it a beautiful thing, life, rather than a cursed thing called life. And it's all in the way you understand it. And that's why I said it's very important that you understand that moon-earth relationship, because it does explain the rest of our reality. Our life is plagued with all kinds of difficulties, with hard times. And these hard times are not definable only, or are not defined only on physical circumstances. You have to get to the spiritual. Who is the person who can make that analogy of the moon and the earth with life? It is the poet. Who is the person that can understand the metaphors in life? It is the musician. And so why do we have such a will to believe in something and call it the name we choose, having chosen nothing, becomes a question for us that challenges the spirit, the soul. It asks us to look as the poet does, as the musician does, as the artist does, and see not just a canvas with drawings on it, but to see those metaphors that pop out from that canvas and touch your life and start defining who you are. Now, Lent for me has always been not just a period of abstinence, but a period of engaging. And in the past, those of you who are longtime listeners of The Next Step have followed our ministry through our videos and everything. I've talked about the abstinence cycles, and I've talked about the doing cycles. One of the most beautiful things on the Sunday just before Lent, which we call Punpare Gentan, is that the Bible passage comes to us right out of the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus talks about three things that you need to do during Lent. One of them is an abstinence of food, which is the fasting. But the other two are actual doing. One is to heighten your prayer life. And the third thing is almsgiving. In other words, increase the goodness, the mercy that you show to others. Now, those are doing things, all of them, actually. In fact, look at abstinence, too, as doing something. You're doing something out of the ordinary. Now, put this all in the context of what this Lenten period is about. It's about doing. It's about increasing the opportunities for that spirit to live, for that soul to live. And that's why Lent is such a beautiful time, because as we nurture our bodies with food, we need to nurture our soul and our spirits with the spiritual food that is all around us. And so take the time to meditate, take the time to pray, and make your prayer life a full life. And this is very important. Listen to Scripture. Scripture says, when you pray, do not mass up a lot of words, because your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. Instead, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer. The Our Father. Right? There it is. Jesus gives us the instruction for praying. Now, when you pray this prayer, what happens? all of a sudden you realize that, yeah, if you're, my Heavenly Father already knows all the other things that I need, then let me get out of the I need mode. Let me get out of the shopping list mode. He already knows what I need. Let me get out of the shopping list mode and get into some really true prayer, which connects me to a higher consciousness, so that when I look at the world, I can understand that, yes, I am not just a physical being, but there is something beyond me. So that when I look at my life, it's not just about my when I was born and when I died, but the fullness of the life in between, that dash. What did I do with that life that God gave me? And so now Lent begins to have a different meaning. It's our opportunity to connect with something greater than ourselves. And so when we have this opportunity, what happens? We understand that, remember I said it at the very beginning, I said, how do we perceive of it? Somebody may look at it and claim that it is a miracle. Another person may look at it and say that it is purely chance. One may say it's by the grace of God, and the other one will say, well, that's the path of a tornado. Whatever happens is because of the chance, of the odds that you're playing. Now you can look at all that, and you can start understanding that really it is beyond odds. If you were to sit here and think about the odds of you surviving, of being here right now, the odds are pretty much against it, but you're here. And you can attribute that to being a freak of nature or being by the grace of God. And when you do into the second mode, when you go into the second option, right, you open up an incredible possibility. A possibility to see so much more, to experience so much more, to understand so much more, to really live that life to its fullest, because you're connected to something more. You know, yesterday morning I was just thinking about, we have this conference coming up. I'll be sharing it with you right after Susie makes her announcements. I've been talking about it, this Reclaim conference. And I was thinking about, okay, we're getting close to it, and now it's time to start thinking about how, you know, the contents. We have basically the ideas of the contents. You saw what's on the program, but we need to put together my speech, my understanding, how we're going to do it. And I was meditating seriously during my, it was the first day of Lent, walking through the streets on my morning walk, and I was contemplating, meditating on this idea of reclaim. What is reclaim? And boom, it hit me. Now, honestly, to me, this is not by chance. It hit me that of all the Sundays that this could have taken place throughout the year, it happens to take place next Sunday. The Reclaim Conference ends on that Sunday. And it happens to be the Sunday of the prodigal son, the story of the two boys, one boy who wants his wealth and he goes and squanders it. And at the end, what does he do? He comes back and asks for forgiveness. And in being forgiven, he reclaims his father's kingdom. And in asking for forgiveness, the father reclaims him. Now, what are the chances that, you know, all these things would have come up, that we put together this Reclaim Conference? I mean, if you look at the notes, how I put it together, at the very beginning when we started the Reclaim Conference, it was called Embracing Our Faith in Changing Times. And then somebody on the committee came and said, why don't we take one of these words, and actually this word that she suggested was regeneration. Let's put a regeneration in front of it. I looked at regeneration and it didn't speak to me. And I went through this entire list, and I have that list. You know, I put together a lot of synonyms for what I wanted to do. I basically make a map, a thought map. And I looked at different words, and I came up with reclaim. Now, I could say I came up with it, or I could say I was guided towards reclaim. Because I didn't understand until a couple days ago how much it would all fit in with the entire message that we have. We're given this beautiful opportunity that it takes place on the Sunday of the prodigal son, the son who comes and reclaims his father's, the inheritance that he has from his father, and the father reclaims him as his son. Beautiful, right? Now, do I need to play the Twilight Zone music for you to accept how wild this is? Why do the faithful have such a will to believe in something and call it the name they choose, having chosen nothing? It's why are people so consumed with $2.50 or $3 hot dogs? Why are they consumed with January 6th, December 25th? Why are they consumed with if we begin Lent on a Monday or Wednesday? Because these are the things that they are consumed with. Push it a little bit. Get out of that mold. Understand that there's a message there. Lent is that time for you to really engage all of your senses. And that includes the senses that you're told you don't have. Extrasensory. To engage that part of you that talks with the universe, that talks with God. Let's take a break right now. Susie, do your message. I'll be back in a few moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that reminder, and thank you to all of you for your generosity for being part of the Next Step. And as you know, next weekend, I noticed that a few minutes ago, I said in a couple weeks, losing track of time, I got to tell you that. It's just been consumed day and night with this conference. But it is next weekend, not this weekend, the following weekend. So I guess that's fine. Yeah, 2 weeks from now, yeah. Anyway, in the March 10th, 11th, and 12th, we're going to have a conference. It is called the Reclaim Conference, Embracing Our Faith in a Changing World. And we have some incredible speakers, some presentations, opportunity to come together, to pray together, to share together, be together, watch movies together, listen to music, share in art, theater. Wow. Why wasn't there something like this when I was a kid? That's what I want to ask. But there is now, so we're inviting you to come. You have missed the early bird deadline, and sorry, I did announce it earlier. It was, there was a savings. But anyway, the cost of it is $175. It lasts for 3 days. It includes all of the participant fees, gets you a cool T-shirt, gets you your meals. It's just a great, great time. And it is an incredible opportunity, especially during Lent, if you are an Armadox follower. Because it's not about, what can we eat, what can we not eat. It's about what can we live and what shouldn't we live. I'm inviting you to be there. It's March 10th, 11th, and 12th. There'll be a link on today's show notes. This, I guess, today will be the last time that I'll have a chance to offer this to you, to share this with you. By next week, I think registration will be closed. So I'm making this offer to you. If you want to do there, I can't give you tickets like I've done before because that early registration is finished. But I will make a $50 coupon available to you, okay? How's that? And all you need to do is just write on there, just say, I'm looking for the $50 coupon. Because looking at Susie and she's going, you're crazy. But we'll do it, Susie. We'll get it up. We will get it up today. Okay, we'll get it on there on the website tonight. And there will be a $50 coupon if you want to come down. And we'll, at least with that $50 reduction, it'll get you to that early bird price. So we look forward to having you with us and joining us there. It's going to be a beautiful time. And let me know. Drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net and be happy to share with some of the instruction that was taking place over there. Right after the entire conference, we will have all of the instructions, the videos, the recordings available for you to download. So make sure you do check it out. If you get a ticket, you get all those downloads free. So how could you go wrong? All right. Anyway, that does it for our show today. I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to ask you to come and hit all the usual spots. Epostle.net, inhisshoes.org, the mothership. And of course, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram and on Twitter. You can follow us in all the usual spots. I want to thank you for joining us. And I look forward to having you close by, close at hand. If you're coming on to the conference, please do let me know so I can. On behalf of the wonderful people who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Roscoe in this Lenten period, inviting you to again next week during this Lenten period to take the next.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath. Cut out!